This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Monday, March 4th, 2024. I had to think about that. What month is it again? It is March. March 4th.
You nailed it.
I am Dave Biddle. Very happy to be joined by Dan Rubin. Exciting day on the Ohio State football beat. An exciting day for Ohio State football fans. Spring ball kicks off tomorrow, but media availability starts today. We're going to interview several Buckeyes, three quarterbacks. We're going to interview Will Howard, Devin Brown, Lincoln Kienholz. We're going to interview Emeka Buka. We're going to interview Travion Henderson. And we're going to interview Donovan Jackson. So all six of those guys will have stories, videos, all that good stuff up on Bucknuts. That's at 11 a.m. today. So check out Bucknuts.com. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage of that not too long from now. So I'll be heading over to the WAC as soon as I get the show up today. And then tomorrow, Dan and I are going to talk about this as well. Practice is open, at least a portion of practice is open to the media. And then afterward, we get head coach Ryan Day and the introductory press conference of new offensive coordinator Chip Kelly. I'm really looking forward to that. A guy that I've seen speak on TV many times, never interviewed him. That'll be cool getting a chance to interview Chip Kelly for the first time, especially after the first spring practice. We'll actually have some stuff to ask him about. We'd have stuff to ask him about anyway with him taking the job. All right, before we get to all of that, I'll let you guys know about one of our great sponsors, a returning sponsor. I love this place. I know Dan does as well. Factor meals. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. Fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. And I get it. You're probably thinking, sure, restaurant quality in 2 minutes, but it's true. This is high-quality, great-tasting food that is ready in just 2 minutes, and I highly recommend it to you guys. I'm a big fan of a lot of their dishes. Like, for example, the chicken and sun-dried tomatoes, fantastic, and many more. I also love their smoothies. They have an incredibly wide selection and have something for everyone. And they have a great deal for you guys. Head to factormeals.com/bucknuts50. Use code bucknuts50 to get 50% off. Once again, that's code bucknuts50 at factormeals.com/bucknuts50 to get 50% off. 50% off. It's pretty darn good. All right, Dan, you heard me name the six guys we're interviewing today. I'm going to give you one guess as who I am looking most forward to talking to and who, as soon as I can, as humanly possible, I'm going to get a story up on Bucknuts about this young man.
Is it Julian Sand? Just kidding.
We're not getting Julian Sand today. We're not getting either of the true freshman quarterbacks.
That's a good question, Dave.
That wasn't too obvious.
I'll go with, how about Emeka Buka? That's who I would actually like to talk to.
Wow. No, Will Howard.
You've already talked. You and Will Howard are already buddies. He's met with the media. We haven't spoken to Emeka at length since he championed the cause to return. But I hear what you're saying.
Well, we haven't talked to Will Howard since way, way, way back in the Bill O'Brien era.
You started that sentence, I thought I'd missed something. But yes.
Seriously. Like, we were asking him about how excited he was to play for Bill O'Brien and all this.
That is pretty funny.
Because QB1 is, this will be our second time talking to him, period. And QB1, there's still a lot that was left on the table last time. Everybody wanted to talk to him last time. I got a couple questions in, but just how's he, you know, what's he think about the Chip Kelly offense now that he's been able to soak in Columbus for a couple months and Ohio State? What's it feel like? What's the difference between a Kansas State, which is no joke of a program? He's not coming from like a Division II school or something. But what are the main differences between a Kansas State and an Ohio State? So I'm really looking forward to Will Howard. I'm looking forward to talking to all those guys. All right. I want to ask you this.
Howard, though, Dave, if I can interrupt you.
Yeah.
He's so polished to me that you guys will get good stuff from him today and it'll be encouraging. But in terms of like, he's not going to be a controversial guy, I don't think. You know what I mean? I don't think he's going to give you anything even slightly towards the negative. He's going to be pumping some sunshine in there as well. He should as the leader. So in terms of headlines, my guess is those will come from somebody else. But who knows? Maybe there'll be none.
Yeah, I'm with you. Maybe as a media member, I should want him to be, you know, a little, say some salacious things as he's talking to him. No, I don't want my quarterback doing that. When I say my quarterback, you know what I mean. Ohio State's quarterback. I don't need the quarterback of my team acting a fool, okay? No. I've said this many times before. And frankly, at Ohio State, you don't even have divas that are like – wide receivers. You got guys like Emeka Egbuka, who's a grown freaking man, who's going to be, if he wasn't going to be a 10-year NFL player, he'd be a CEO somewhere.
Yeah.
That's the type of young man he is. He graduated from Ohio State's Fisher School of Business in 3 years, one of the top business schools in America. So my point was, you can be, like, look at the NFL, for example. You can be a diva and be a wide receiver, good mm-hmm. one. You can be a diva and be a corner, okay? You can't be mm-hmm. a diva and be a good quarterback, okay? Mm-hmm. People say, what about Aaron Rodgers? He didn't really become a diva till after he was really, really good. And that's not exactly what I'm talking about either. Aaron Rodgers wouldn't paint his fingernails F Utah, for example, like our buddy Caleb Williams. So anyway, I like that Will Howard is a grown man. I also find it fascinating. I'm curious to get his take on what he knew about Kyle McCord coming up. They were a year apart. They're not both from Philadelphia, but Howard was close to Philadelphia, though.
I looked it up.
Yeah, West.
I did the map quest.
Yeah, when I saw Westchester, Pennsylvania for Will Howard, I just assumed Pittsburgh area. Westchester, Pittsburgh. No, it's closer to Philadelphia. So he's a year older than Kyle. Kyle will be a fourth-year player. Will's going to be a fifth-year player. It's just interesting. Will, the three-star from that area, you know, had to go to Kansas State, which is by far his best offer. And then, you know, the five-star Kyle McCord. And now Will's replacing Kyle McCord. You got one Eastern Pennsylvania guy replacing another. I find that interesting. Expectations for Will Howard before we get to Chip Kelly's offense. I don't think he's going to, you know, maybe, I don't know, it's hard to imagine because they are going to run the ball, I think, more, especially when you have Judkins here. Howard himself is going to run the ball. Travion Henderson obviously is going to run the ball. But playing in this offense with these wide receivers, he could put up some really good stats. If he stays healthy, I think Howard's going to put up some stats. That being said, I don't expect like a Heisman season from him. Like, where are you at with Will Howard?
I'm not putting a ceiling on anything. We are entering what I like to call uncharted waters. If someone had gone from scratch and told you what they were putting together and then said he's going to be a Heisman candidate, it would be completely realistic. If you look at the talent surrounding him, the coaching, the opportunity to be in the national spotlight, you know, in some years, it's really the quarterbacks of the winning teams. I mean, what Jaden Daniels did this year was go on a statistical run that kind of blanked the argument. But in a lot of times, Gino Toretta wins it. You know what I mean? I'm not comparing Will Howard to Gino Toretta. So,
that's true.
And I think the fact that Ohio State's going to have so many good players on the team, it's not like this past season when our offense was, I don't mean to be mean, but kind of more like Marv in a pile of dust at times. It won't be like that this year. The coaching, the talent level, hopefully the offensive line will be better. So I think he's definitely got a chance to be in the Heisman running. Also, who else, if you look around the country, there aren't the – I mean, I could be missing off the top of my head, but Caleb Williams isn't coming back. There's no Drake May. You know, Jaden Daniels even. So I think he's got a shot. Who would have a better one?
Yeah, I just don't want to put too much on him because he's not – this isn't like Justin Fields coming in here. I don't want to put too much on him like, hey, this is like, you know, Will
he's
Howard.
He's not Justin Fields now.
You know what I mean?
Let's
I mean,
be clear
like,
on that though, Dave. He's not Justin Fields. Justin Fields, it's not Justin Fields, in my opinion, was the best quarterback we've ever had that I watched in a game. My opinion. Love CJ. But during the games, actually, when Fields was here, I thought he was the best one we've had. That's just me. And by the way, I think a lot of people felt that way at the time. I think his performance in the NFL has become retrospective. But I think Howard's going to have a very, very good chance to get to New York. I don't know if he'll win it, but someone from Ohio State's going to New York. Why not?
I think if Will Howard stays healthy, he probably will put up the numbers to get there. I'm trying not to put too much on. And I feel like I've been like the president of the Will Howard fan club. So maybe I should get on board with that. But
who's the competition?
It's so exciting for him playing in this offense, playing with these wide receivers. If you want to just key on the passing game, and guess what? They got two All-American running backs coming at you. I shouldn't say All-American. Travion's not an All-American. But could be an All-American.
Did you watch the combine? There weren't two running backs that I would have taken over him. Maybe the kid from Florida State.
Well, you would have taken over Travion?
Or Judkins.
My problem with Travion, if I'm an NFL team, is durability. I'm not taking him on the second day. And I wouldn't get him because there's no way he'd fall to the fourth round. I wouldn't take Travion to the fourth round.
Someone will.
That's what I said. Someone will take him on the second day. I wouldn't.
That's fair.
Nothing against him personally. Durability is just so. And fourth round really isn't that bad for a running back.
He's going to. Anyway. Who knows what goes on with the combine now? Because I don't know if anyone's. It feels like it's going the way of the dodo on some level with the top players.
Right.
But I'd like to see him run the 40. At 213 pounds or something, you know.
I filled in on a show in Columbus on Friday, and someone asked me, you think we might get to the point where people, because everybody's overreacting about Marvin, like skipping the media interviews. I'm a media guy saying that. It's like, it's not a big deal. But someone was asking me, do you think we're going to get to the point where these top players don't even show up to the combine? And I'm like, yes, of course we're going to get to that point. Yeah. Every year we get closer to that. I wouldn't have been surprised if that was this year, if Caleb Williams just didn't go to the combine at all. Like, yeah, the combine's becoming less and less and less than that. And it's like NFL Network, they plugged it so hard with, you get to watch Caleb Williams. No, you don't. You get to hear from Marvin Harrison. No, you don't. And like all these guys, these specific guys that they plugged the hardest, like blew everything off. And
I'm a nerd.
We're going to get to the point where somebody just, I'm the number one pick. Why do I need to go to Indianapolis for a couple days?
Really, the combine set up for them to get medicals, but now these guys are turning down the medicals. That has never happened before. That's the actual change. I'd rather have my personal doctor.
Yeah, you can come see me. Right. Yeah. It's the player empowerment era. I have no problem with it. I mean, we've always called it the meat market of the combine. It's like, it's kind of weird. It's weird.
It's the leverage era, and these people have plenty of money now, so they don't have to go.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Oh, well, we're not going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. because he didn't go to the combine. It's like, okay. Come on. The team right after you was like, thank you.
Yeah, that's preposterous. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, Chip Kelly's impact. Is it just the more I think about it, the more intrigued I become? Yes, that is. But it's also, you know, everything I've analyzed and just that the more I think about it, and he hasn't been an offensive coordinator in forever. this is going to be so much off of his plate. He can just do what he's great at. I love that. Talking to people that I trust with some of the things he's going to bring to the table with his run concepts. And it sounds like Dan, like I've been saying, this is really the Ryan Day offense and Chip Kelly's going to make tweaks to it. That's true to a certain extent, but I had somebody I trust recently tell me it's a little bit more than that. It's going to be a little bit more than Chip making little tweaks here and there. And I mean that in a good way. It's still going to be the Ryan Day offense, but I think this was a home run hire.
I'll go to a coach who coaches quarterbacks at a school not named Ohio State. And he reached out when it went from O'Brien to Kelly and could not have been more effusive in his praise. Specifically said that the running game is going to get a lot better. He said Kelly is really at heart a runner, a run offense. It's a lot of fancy stuff, but it's really based on being able to run the ball consistently. If you can't run the ball consistently, the offense doesn't work, and the scheme is used to do that first. Now, after watching this past season and not being able to run the ball consistently and knowing what that feels like, it feels terrible. We need to get back to the point where, you know, the Trey Sermon, J.K. Dobbins vibes, when it's like third and six, you can pitch it. and it's a reasonable play. This year, if you pitch it on third and six, you've got fourth and 12. Okay, that's no good. I've also really believed this in Kelly. What are the complaints people have made about Chip Kelly? They're very few about the offensive scheme. They're about recruiting. They're about fundraising. They're about choosing a defensive coordinator. They're about communicating with the defense. They're about, you know, handling the media and all this stuff. I just named things he does not have to do here. He doesn't have to do any of that, okay? He can just focus on doing what he wants to do. And there are times in your career when you need to be promoted for the money and your job kind of hits the ceiling. I get the feeling with Chip Kelly that if they would have told him, we'll run your plays forever and never argue with you, you can just be the offensive coordinator and we'll pay you as much as the head coach, he would have done that. I'm ecstatic about this. The people who don't like this, I think, are just judging him as a head coach. And look, he was fine as a head coach early on, just kind of lost his zest for it. His stuff worked with Oregon and Philly early on. It was the ability to deal with a big corporation being the head guy that kind of got it sideways. It wasn't the football stuff, in my opinion. So I think it's tremendous. Adding in the fact that, you know, Kelly recruited Day. They went to the same high school. And then there is a pre-existing relationship there.
Oh, Kelly is Day has said many times that Chip Kelly is his mentor. Yeah, Chip Kelly was the offensive coordinator at New Hampshire when Ryan Day was the quarterback at New Hampshire. Obviously, Ryan Day worked under him with the Eagles and the Niners.
There's like eight people in New Hampshire that like football. And there are two of them. And they have a long history together. So I don't understand. If you're negative about it, you must have an axe to grind. I assume you have an axe to grind. You just don't like Chip Kelly because there's no arguing his offensive chops. That's not even – I'm not even sure how you'd even come to that point. So I'm ecstatic about it.
It's going to be like Knowles. Like I was told it's going to be like Knowles. We'll get a chance to meet with him like a decent amount, more than you would like a regular assistant coach. So that's good. But you're right. First of all, even just meeting with the media, if he has to once a week during the season, that's nothing that a head coach has to do. And then it's just talking about the offense. We're not going to be asking about, like you're saying, recruiting. And how come you're doing this on the defense? It's just Chip Kelly's going to be doing what Chip Kelly wants to do. I absolutely love it. Mika's asked a couple questions I wanted to get to. Same question. She just wanted to make sure that we got to it. Okay, so Ohio State lost. So Todd Fitch had been here for at least the last 3 years as an analyst, and he had a lot of offensive coaching experience. Coming here and was a guy Ryan Day really leaned on. If you go back and watch the C.J. Stroud era, for example, both years C.J.'s started here. Watch when C.J. trots off the field if you have an old game on DVR or whatever. Like the first guy C.J. would come to would be Todd Fitch on the sideline. Okay, but I think it's as simple as this, Dan. I think he's going to LSU as an analyst, if I saw that correctly. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but Todd Fitch is moving on. I think it's as simple as this. With Chip Kelly now here, don't need Todd Fitch also here.
That makes sense to me. And don't forget, they've also lost Corey Dennis. So it does feel like maybe there's a – and to be fair, and I'm not trying to be mean to Kyle McCord, he was not the quarterback that we were used to. and we'd gotten used to a very high level of play. So maybe they're doing a little bit going back to the drawing board on how they're handling the quarterbacks. Some fresh eyes, a little bit more of a fresh approach. There's probably some things Day did that let McCord get to the point he was that he's going to change internally because that's really not how it was supposed to work out. So I just think it's a philosophical shift, and I like the idea of a little bit more of a fresh start.
And well, I'll get a chance to – I don't know if this will be on my list because we'll probably be limited to two questions tomorrow. I don't know if this is the time to ask – to burn one of those questions on who's going to replace Todd Fitch as an offensive analyst, but maybe I'll ask it. We'll see. Maybe I'll pull a Tim May and just ask like 15 questions. I love Tim May. For those that think I'm making fun of Tim May, I'm not. I love that guy. He's earned the right to ask 15 questions if he wants to. All right, and Sue has earned the right to ask this question. Sue, how confident are we that Kelly can run a great offense with our 4- and 5-star wide receivers wanting some touches? Great question, because we're sitting here waxing poetic about – oh, look what he's going to do for the running game. Look what he's going to do for the running game. Well, what's he going to do for Emeka Egbuka and Jermaine Smith and all these guys, or Jeremiah Smith. How about I pronounce his name right? Jeremiah Smith and all these guys, Carnell Tate. Listen, this is where I come back to it. Even though Chip Kelly's going to be maybe, it's going to be more than just tinkering the Ryan Day offense, it's still the Ryan Day offense. They're still going to pass the ball plenty, is my guess, in this Chip Kelly, Ryan Day offense. What do you think, Dan?
I think Ryan Day follows recruiting and knows that we need receivers, so you got to spread the ball around. That I appreciate the question. I have no concern about getting the ball to our playmakers. That's just – that is a first world issue in the extreme. I love the receiver room this year. I love the way it breaks down physically from size and speed. I love the fact that Emeka Egbuka is the senior in the room.
Yes.
I can make a strong argument that he might be the one guy I would choose over the last 15 years to be that guy. Just the senior. If I had to have everyone follow someone every day and say, hey, just do what he does and don't talk, it might be Emeka from what I've heard. Now, Marvin was the jugs machine king, and I get that. But there's a certain level of Marv that I just feel like it's unattainable. Emeka's more human. Does that make sense? And has maybe more of the traditional leadership skills. Then you've got, you know, arguably the most talented sophomore receiver in the country in Tate. And I think Brandon Ennis is going to emerge. And then you've got, you know, whatever we're going to call him. We got to come up with a nickname for Jeremiah Smith as a freshman.
Everybody's going to call him the freak. Can we get a unique
the freak? Thing? Does he like that? I don't want to offend him. Last time I said something negative about it, his recruitment, I got hammered.
Everybody uses the nickname the freak, and like not necessarily even with Jeremiah. I'm just predicting that's what people will do because it's so lazy. We got to get a unique nickname for him.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we got to do it right now at the top of our head. We can think about it, okay? Nicknames are important.
By the way,
we can't just recycle old nicknames all over the place. It's got to be good. There you go. We're talking about Optimus Prime.
Time out. I got the best nickname, Dave, I've heard in a long time. Okay.
It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes. The guy at Indiana State.
Yes, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's the best nickname.
End it.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That is.
End it. I was just going to bring that up.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm so glad you said that. Oh, that makes my day.
Oh, we were talking about that on the show.
Kareem. Kareem, get the money.
Yeah.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And by the way, the guy's Hispanic, which is even funnier.
Cash rules everything around me.
Yeah.
Kareem. Oh, God. That's so funny. When I heard that, I'm like, that's fantastic.
Whoever came up with that.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Hilarious. Yeah.
It's just
I used to love Maple Jordan for Andrew Wiggins when he first came out. Sounds like Michael Jordan. He's from Canada. Maple Jordan.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
That's pretty good.
I didn't know he sounded like Michael Jordan. Okay.
No, but Maple Jordan. That sounds like Michael Jordan.
Yes.
And he's from Canada.
Right, maple syrup.
Ha-ha. But yes, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I think we've retired it. I might get a post. You may see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar back here soon.
Seriously. That kid, I mean, that is just – whoever gave him, actually, you know, the true superstar is whoever gave him that nickname.
Agreed.
Like he's also he's like semi superstar Kareem himself, but like whoever gave him the nickname, that's the person I want to meet. That's who I want to hang out with.
That was awesome. All right.
We are gonna get to I got a big basketball question for Dan. I'm gonna ask Dan Rubin, and you guys can chime in too. What would it take? And I'm telling you, the answer to this question for me, even after the Ohio State basketball team beat Purdue, I would have said, I don't care, nothing. Like, what would it take for Jake Diebler to have the interim tag removed as Ohio State men's basketball coach? I'm going to ask Dan Rubin what it would take for that to happen. Would it be to make the tournament, NCAA tournament, after they were left for dead? Would it be, that's not good enough, you got to at least make the tournament and get to the Sweet 16? No, that's not good enough. You got to win it all. Then we're going to keep you. I'm being a little facetious there. They're not going to win it all. I can't believe we're even having this conversation, but it's interesting. They won again yesterday, blew out Michigan. Before we do that, I'm going to let you guys know about our other returning sponsor, Joy Mode. Patrick Murphy, geez, I tell you what, a little too much information. He talks about this all the time. I'm like, all right, I get it. All right, Joy Mode. I think I speak for most men when I say we want to be our best in the bedroom. The issue is that over-the-counter pills that help in that department contain unregulated chemicals, suggest unsafe doses, and include the risk of several other health problems. That's why we partnered with our friends over at Joy Mode. Whether you're looking to spice up your intimate moments or increase your confidence in the bedroom, Joy Mode makes all natural and science-backed supplements dedicated to helping men perform better across their core functions. Here are the game changers. All ingredients have been assessed in peer-reviewed journals. All ingredients have been studied and researched in humans, not robots, not aliens, humans. I don't know about you, but I'll never go back to prescription or over-the-counter drugs after trying Joy Mode. Small enough to fit in your wallet and take with you on the go, it's the perfect travel companion. I mean, Dan Rubin and I almost missed a flight because he missed his. We had to go back and get it. I was like, come on. Jeez.
Needed it.
Go to usejoymode.com/bucknuts and get 20% off with code bucknuts at checkout. That's 20% off and free shipping with code bucknuts at usejoymode.com/bucknuts. Great sex solved naturally. All right. What would it take? I can't believe I'm asking this in a serious connotation. Mr. Dan Rubin, what would it take for Jake Diebel to have the interim tag removed and he gets a 5-year extension to be Ohio State men's basketball coach? What would it take?
Boy, you added the 5-year extension in.
Okay, make it however you want to make it. Two years, whatever. I don't care.
All right, let's try and be realistic about this. I think we can all agree it's an extreme long shot.
Yes.
I will say with the momentum, it's a fun story to be part of, even the chance to talk about it, given where we were low. How long ago? It's been 3 weeks, 2 weeks?
It hasn't been a month. Not a month, quite.
It didn't even last as long as the Bill O'Brien era, but I digress.
It's been a lot more successful, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a really tough – because here's another thing. College basketball is not that good. So the idea of the Buckeyes going on a run is not that outlandish to me. I don't even think they're that good. But if they just put it together and stay hot, who knows? I mean, they could make a run. I think they're going to get into the point now where do you think they're in the tournament? Do you think they got to win how many tournament games?
They would have to win, so they have to beat Rutgers. That would make them 9-11. Their net ranking entering yesterday was better than people probably thought. It was like 60.
Can they get in under 500?
9-11 in the Big Ten. That would then put them at what, 18-12 overall, 19-12 overall. Then they would need, in my opinion, then win at least two games in the Big Ten tournament. And they could then be an at-large team. It's insane that we're even talking about this. Anyway, I think it would take at least get to the tournament and get to the Sweet 16.
For him to be the coach?
You have to get to the Sweet. You can't just make the tournament. You have to get to at least.
They're not going
to
hire him they're not going to make him the head coach if they get to the Sweet 16.
Something Holtman couldn't do throughout his entire tenure. Diebler takes over them. They're left for dead, resurrects them, and then takes them to this. Not only makes the tournament, which would be insane, just making the tournament when they were left for dead. I literally would have given that a 0% chance, Dan. I knew they could.
I would too.
They make the tournament and then get to the Sweet 16.
I would have given it a 0% chance too, but do you think, would you have said at the time it would have gotten them the job? That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? At the same time, if you would have asked this, look, you know what I mean? If we would ask you both questions at the same time, you're using the time we went through here to help, but not the first part of the question.
Yeah, I would, because he would have done what I consider the impossible. If I considered it had a 0% chance, you said, well, what if they don't just make the tournament, they get to the Sweet 16, I would have laughed my ass off. And I said, well, yeah, if that happens, which would never would, then yeah, I'd give him the job.
Okay.
That would never happen.
You know, it's not like he's some nondescript assistant. You know what I'm saying? Theoretically, I mean, it's not like my concern isn't the coaching part or getting to the kids and stuff like that. He clearly can do that. It's just running the program and recruiting. Not that we've done a very good job of that anyway. You know what? I guess I don't know him well enough to know the deets on that. If they get to the Sweet 16, it's going to be so ridiculous. I'll tell you what, there will be a lot of momentum at that point, because if you think about what would have to happen between now and then, it would be kind of a storybook ride, which would sublimate a lot of the negativity and the concerns. So I guess he could pull it off. But Sweet 16, sure. I mean, if you get to the Elite Eight.
I can't believe we're talking about this.
That's something. because then you're going to get, I can't remember, how does it work? You go to the Sweet 16. No. If you go to the Final Four, you get that whole week of coverage, right? If he gets to the Elite Eight, it's not that much different than the Sweet 16 because it's only about 48 hours. But can you imagine what Deebo will become a living legend if he I said that to Steve, by the way, 10 days ago. Does he have to pull a Fisher? And we were like, come on, that's ridiculous.
An Ohio State man's going to coach Ohio State. Yeah,
exactly.
How about Bill Frieder telling Bo, hey, I'm going to take the Arizona State job, but don't worry, bud. I'm going to stay on for the rest of the year. Sure. Bo's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. Steve Fisher, you're up. Frieder, you're out. I mean, imagine going into Bo and telling him that you're quitting to go to Arizona State. But, I'm still going to coach the team in the tournament. No, you're not.
Arizona State was like, should have been named Golden Parachute U. You know what I'm saying? It's like had no basketball program whatsoever. And he was leaving a team that was championship worthy for the Dollars.
Beautiful area. That's probably what he was thinking. Tempe, Arizona is beautiful. But
yeah, I think it probably had something to do with the cash, my guess, than the weather.
Well, I bet it was both.
Okay, combo deal. Who could turn that down? But yeah, it's been fun.
Get into the WAC. I got to get this show up so I can get over to the WAC and do my other job. I got too much stuff going on this week, Dan.
Dave, tell everybody again who's going to be there today because it's an impressive list.
Yeah, so it's just six guys. The three non-true freshman quarterbacks. We're getting Will Howard, we're getting Devin Brown, and we're getting Lincoln Keenholz. And we're getting Emeka Igbuka, who I agree with Dan, might be the best leader on this entire team. He's just a special young man. He's tough. He was so good as a sophomore. I think he's going to be lights out as a senior as long as he stays healthy. So we're getting Emeka. We're getting Travion Henderson. Looking forward to that. And we're getting Donovan Jackson. So sprinkling in a little bit of a lot of offensive guys today. Six, maybe not a lot, but six. So keep it locked to Bucknuts for all that. We're going to have videos, stories, all that good stuff on Bucknuts. Thanks to Dan Rubin. Thanks to all of you. Appreciate it very much. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.